Text where we left off last week, we find Jesus being approached by the disciples to answer some questions. The temples and buildings had been shown to Jesus, and then Jesus came back and said, it's all going to be thrown down. And the city is in question, the temple's in question, the nation's in question. Throughout this chapter, Jesus begins to talk about the first half of the tribulation, and then the second half of the tribulation, and then towards the latter part of this chapter explains things that precede his return at his coming and the rest of the chapter. By the way, the rapture was a foreign concept to the Jews, just like the early church was a foreign concept to the Jews. They could not see the era where Jesus was going to remove the nation of Israel for a while and set them on the shelf, and they could not see the church taking center stage and the evangelism of the disciples and the apostles. The Jews couldn't see that picture, and so Jesus really doesn't deal with that or discuss that. He does, however, discuss the day of the Lord, the tribulation, that they could identify with, because that was discussed in detail in the Old Testament with the prophets. So they understood tribulation. They understood tough time. They understood that without a problem. So Jesus begins to go down and talk to them about that. And verse number 12, he says, because of what's going to happen during this time, the iniquity is going to abound and the love of many is going to wax cold. People will be against one another. And by the way, during the time of the tribulation, you will be considered a traitor if you aid the Jews or anyone that's acknowledging the sovereignty of Christ on their life. You would be considered a traitor to the nation. You would be someone that would be beheaded. You would be someone that would go to jail just for helping the Jews or helping anyone during that time frame. So in times like these, we said that this is the season, or this is the time of year when we need to spread the good news of our Messiah's birth into this world. And although many may love less, Christians should love more. And we do want to stay loving in times like these. By the way, if nobody else loves, you know who ought to love? The Christian. Nobody else has good cheer. You know who ought to have good cheer? God's people. Nobody else has a smile on their face. You know who ought to have a smile on their face? God's people. If nobody else wants to celebrate the Messiah's birth, you know who ought to celebrate his birth? Christians ought to. Say, preacher, what do we do with Santa Claus? Trash him, amen. You can do what you want to do with Santa Claus, but I know he has no billing with Jesus Christ. And you go back into the manger scene and you ask the wise men about Santa Claus, I guarantee you they won't say they know who he is. You go back and ask the wise men, who is Frosty the Snowman? I'm sure they will say, we don't know who he is. You ask them, who is the Abominable Snowman? I'm sure they'll say, we don't know who he is. You say, who is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? They will say, I don't know who he is. You ask him who the Grinch who stole Christmas is, they might say King Herod, amen. Don't know, but I'm just saying that none of these characters that seem to take center stage with Jesus Christ were there at the birth of the Messiah. And so what you want to do with them is really up to you. But I know Jesus Christ has center billing during this time of the year. If nobody else uplifts Jesus Christ, you and I ought to. In our text, Jesus explains the first half of the tribulation in verses 4 through 14. And he talks about the tribulation problems in verses 4 through 8. And we talked about the word and that brings that conjunction all together. And even with the events of 4, 5, and 6, he says, all these, in verse 6, are all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And when he says the end is not yet, he's not talking about the end of time. He's talking about the end of this period. By the way, when the Lord Jesus said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, he meant into the end of the age or that period of time. And what Jesus is saying here is the end is not yet, or this time period is not yet. By the way, Jesus did deal in dispensations or time periods. Noah had one, Adam and Eve had one, Abraham had one, the church age has one. There's a bunch of time periods. And he says the end or the time period is not yet. Then he gives you the tribulation persecutions in verses 9 and 10. He begins talking about what's going to happen down there. And the tribulation persecutions will be immense upon their lives. Then he talks about the tribulation prophets in verses 11 through 14. And then notice what he says at the end of 14, and then shall the end come. He said the time that you know of is going to come to an all-out halt, and that one in whom you trusted as the Messiah, so to speak, is going to turn on you. He's going to demand that you worship him as God. He's going to go in the temple and say, I am God, and demand that worship. That one who you trusted to be your Messiah will turn out to be your misery. He said, and then the end will come. That time period will come to a halt, because for the next 3.5 years, you're going to see tribulation like you've never seen in your life. And it was going to get bad. Going to get worse. Notice verse 21. Then shall be great tribulation. such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. He said, you ain't seen nothing yet. By the way, Christian, we look at this world, we think, man, it's so bad, same-sex marriage, and this, that, and that it is bad. That's bad. It is nothing compared to what's coming. That's why it's called the rapture. You want to get out of here before this time. And God, Jesus Christ knew that the Jews would be there. And he said, many of you are going to be here and you're going to see this. And he said, the end's not yet. You're going to go through this and this and this and this. And because iniquity is going to abound, love's going to wax cold. Nobody's going to want to help you. It's going to get worse. And then it's going to come to an end. It's going to escalate and it's going to be trouble like you never saw it before. Trust me. You want to be saved today. You want to be saved today. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you're not sure that heaven is your home, you need to be saved today. You don't want to see any inkling of this. And so we've been looking at verse number 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That is a time to come. Wax cold means to breathe on, causing a cooling or reducing of temperature. It means to chill, produce a decreasing of temperature. And you and I need to stay loving toward others when there's so much loathing surrounding us or hating. The word loathe means to hate, to detest, to abhor, to feel intense dislike or disgust for, or to be repelled. And I'm sure if I said right now, who repels you? Who disgusts you? Who abhors you? Or who do you see that you greatly dislike? Some of you might say Donald Trump. Some of you may say Hillary Clinton. Some of you may say Dallas Cowboys. Amen. No one would ever say Green Bay or Chicago Bears. Not anybody that's right with God. But the word loathe means to hate, to detest. And there will be people in your life and in my life whom we for a time may detest or abhor or feel an intense dislike or disgust for and be repelled by. But let me tell you something, friend. If you don't handle it right, it's going to turn into some bitterness. That bitterness is going to turn to some hate. We looked at some biblical characters last week that fell in that category. We're going to look a little bit more at a few more. Then next week we'll look at Jesus Christ. And by the way, when everybody else's love waxed cold, Jesus' love remained the same. And by the way, if anybody had a chance or an opportunity to be hurt, it is my Lord. Would you say amen? The one who came to his own received him not. The one who came to religious leaders, and the religious leaders persecuted him. If anybody had reason to hurt and become bitter, be him. And we'll look at him next week. Jesus is still the reason for the season. I gave you this thought last week. No one just wakes up one day out of the blue for no reason at all and says, I hate Christmas. I hate church. I hate Christians. I hate blacks. I hate whites. I hate Hispanics. I hate Filipinos. I hate Trump. I hate Hillary. I hate you. No one wakes up saying that. There's always process to hatred or loathing of someone or something. And there may not be a cause to hate on you, but they have a cause to hate. By the way, how many of y'all was hated on this week? Somebody hated on you. Amen. All of us had something happen that we didn't like. Now, some responded and handled it better than others. Others maybe not so good. I gave you this thought as well. Today, I want to continue to uncover the process a bit more to understand the haters of this world and why the love of many waxes cold. I got a chance to talk to my neighbor yesterday. And I said, hey, look, I said, I'm still looking forward to talking to your girlfriend and find out what it is that caused her to not want to go to church, because he said that we're going to try to come out for Christmas. I said, I want to know what it was. I said, because I am talking in my sermons right now about problems that happen of hurt in our lives that cause us to begin to dislike certain things. And I said, I know there's something that caused this. Because she has no problems with God. She has no problem with Jesus. But she has a lot of problem with the church. And it's not the building that she is concerned about. It is the people in the building. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I think the average person says the same thing. You know why I said I didn't want to go to church? Too many hypocrites in the church. But I had no problem going to Sears and Walmart where there's just as many. Had no problem going to the grocery store where there's double. Had no problem going to a concert where it's multiplied. But church I wasn't going to go to because too many hypocrites. See, we believe that God's people ought to be perfect and not doing anything and not hurting anybody's feelings. We believe that they should not offend anyone. The fact of the matter, we're still just sinners saved by grace. And we're going to offend one another, but hallelujah and praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that his blood cleanses me from sin. It covers a multitude of sins. I'm so glad that when I don't do things right, I can get a cleansing. And I believe if we are going to understand the haters of this world, we've got to understand the process of haters. It will help us to love them and not wax cold towards them. There's still some people that still love. I go for walks all the time, and there's still people that honk their horns at me, wave, give me the thumbs up, give me the high five. Still have those that will roll their windows down and say, do you need some water? Now, I'm a stranger, mind you. I'm running on the side of the street. There's still people that will stop by and say, do you need anything? Praise God. That means that the love of some has not waxed cold. And they'll help a stranger like me. But others see someone, they're like, I'm going to run you over. You remind me of my ex-boyfriend. You remind me of my ex-husband. You remind me of my wife. I've got no love for people like you. Love of many should wax cold. Children are growing up to become haters because they're neglected. Wives are growing up to be haters because they've been hurt. Husbands are growing up to be haters because they cannot do what they thought they could do as a married man. May I introduce to you that hatred is a reaction, not an action. It is learned. The process goes something like this, as I mentioned last week. Hate is normally preceded by being bitter. And being bitter is normally preceded by an undealt with hurt. And hurt comes when someone or something goes against you, that which you dislike and remains undealt with. It can be against you, it can be against yours, or it can be against someone or something you care for. In other words, you get hurt and can choose to get help from God and get better, or you can choose to get bitter and begin to hate. That's the process. That's the process. Many people today hate because they've been and still are hurting over an undealt with issue. You're not just hating. Man, let me tell you this. That dislike that you have, examine it. Ask yourself, where did it come from? Ask yourself, why is it there? Ask yourself, why do I feel this way? Ask yourself, what did they do to me? And then go a step further. What did I do about it? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Did I try to work it out? Did I go to my God and get help? If I'm a saved, born-again child of God, I've got the help of Almighty God. I've got the Word of God. I've got the Holy Spirit of God. I've got so many things on my side. Why be bitter? Why be bitter? Why be bitter? Well, let's look at a few more notable characters. See the process of hurt to hate. And again, my goal is that when we come across a hater, don't just look at the person. Look beyond them. And ask yourself, I wonder why they're this way. I wonder what happened in their life. I wonder why they feel this way. I wonder what caused them to be this way. Did you ever see these, the young boys with the britches hanging down? The gangbangers and just got that thuggish look. And we automatically just say, boy, look at that, my britches hanging down. You can see his underwears and rah. Did you ever stop to think why? Why they're that way? Some are just mimicking. Some are rebellious. Some have gone through a hard time. Just talking to someone recently about some young people. And as I sat down to talk to this person about the young people, the person began to tell me certain things about the young people's lives. And they said, this happened in this young life. This happened in this young life. This happened in this young life. And then the wheels began to turn. I said, that explains why they are the way they are. Before that, I didn't know that. I just saw the young person. And I just saw how they were. And I thought, that's disgusting to be that way. But then once I got to know what was behind the person, I thought, I understand. Now, it doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it right. And it doesn't change the fact of what they did. But now I can understand them a little better. I'm not going to be so judgmental. I'm not going to be so hard on them and the next one. Why? God just kind of said, look past what you see. Look at the background. Look at why the hurt is there. And I thought, oh my. I said, God, I'm preaching on that very thing. How gracious of you to show me that in black and white. So my goal for you and I as God's people is not to judge people so harshly, but to stay loving when others surrounding us are loathing and hating. We still have to be loving. God still loves us. Jesus still loves us, irregardless of who we are. He still loves the world, irregardless of who they are. He still died for them, irregardless of who they are. And he says, if you're one of mine, then I want you to do the same thing. Hey, during this time of the year, you and I got to show love. Got to show love. Well, last week we looked at Scrooge, and we saw Scrooge was hurt positionally by being left at school, and we saw he was hurt personally. His sister died, and instead of getting better, he got bitter, and instead of getting help from God, he began to hate, and that's what made Scrooge the way he was. And then we looked at Satan last week as well, found out Satan didn't start out as a hater. His name was Lucifer. He was a bright one. He was one of the musical instruments of God. And instead of getting better when he got puffed up with pride, he was dealt with by God and was deposed and demoted. He began hurting. And instead of getting help from God, Satan got bitter and took a third of the angels and became a hater against God. We saw how easy it is. Revelation chapter 12 shows him taking those angels. Well, this morning, I want us to look at another notable character. And you'll see the same process. Go in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. We looked at Scrooge. We looked at Satan. In Genesis, I want us to see Scripture's first son. First son that was born. You know his name. His name is Cain. And I want you to follow some things in Cain's life and see what happened to Cain and find that the same principle that we're talking about, this hurt, has occurred in Cain's life. Scripture's first son, Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 1. What's going on here? Cain is going to be born to Adam and Eve after they have been kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And as they are kicked out of the Garden of Eden, there's a cherubim guarding the tree of life, and so they cannot go back in. And ironically enough, Adam and Eve stayed married together. Can I get an amen? There was no divorce, although they brought sin into the world, and although their lives would never be the same, although they were barred from the tree of life, although they had no access to this beautiful garden, they didn't divorce. They stayed together. They stuck it out. They went through the hard times. They still had children. They knew it wasn't going to be easy. They knew they were going to have to work. They knew childbearing was going to be difficult. They did not divorce. Can I get an amen? This age we live in, I'll live together, I'll shack up, and if I do get married, I can divorce you. It's of the devil. I'm just telling you. It's of the devil. They did not divorce. I'm so glad my parents didn't divorce. Now, if your parents divorced, I understand it happens. I understand it happens. I know many of you have had divorces in your life. I understand that, and I'm not against you at all. I'm just saying that the devil fights marriage. He fights it tooth and nail. And if you're having struggles, join the club. Nobody said it was going to be easy. But divorce is not your answer. Jesus gives the formula for divorce. But because we got kicked out of the Garden of Eden is not one. Because your breath stank is not one. And because you don't like something is not one. I'm just saying. Scripture's first son. Scripture reveals Cain's hurt. Cain was hurt positionally. He had an offering, and it was rejected by God, and he is hurt even though he's the firstborn. Notice chapter 4 and verse 1. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Nothing wrong with his offering to bring before the Lord. Nothing wrong with bringing fruit. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Nothing wrong with Cain's offering, but Abel brought that which God had required according to law. You say there was no law there, but God had already showed the picture by shedding blood, and he wanted to sacrifice, a sinless sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, and the blood. And I'm sure Adam and Eve had probably passed that down. You say, preacher, why would you say that? Notice verse number 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Notice this, if thou doest well, he knows what to do. If thou doest well, will thou not be accepted? He knew what to do. He knew what the offering was, and he did not bring it. You know what he said? I'll bring what I want to bring. I'll bring what I'm good at. Let me just do what I'm good at. I'm a tiller of the ground, and this is good stuff, and I know this is good. You know, that animal stuff, that leave that stuff to Abel. I don't have no parts with that. That's his forte. That's not mine. I'm good at this. Here you go, God. And God said, I don't want that. It's not what I want. What Abel bought, that's what I want. I want the blood. Why? It's going to be the blood throughout Scripture. It's going to be the blood all the way down to the cross. It's the blood. And God said, if you want to be right with me, you're going to shed some innocent blood because my son is going to shed his innocent blood for you down the road. And it's going to be a foreshadowing of what is to come. And he said, will thou not be accepted? Notice down there, verse 7, if thou doest well, shall not thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Now unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. In other words, sin was going to have the mastery of his life because he would be doing big sin. Notice, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Why did he slay him? Instead of getting better by dealing with the hurt that he got from God and getting help from God and saying, God, what do I do? And what sacrifice do I bring? Cain got bitter and began to hate, looking at his brother and saying, you're trying to one-up me, huh? My position is better than yours. I was firstborn, not you. I'm hurt about that. And so I just get rid of you and I won't hurt anymore. Come on now. I'll just leave the family and I won't hurt anymore. I'll just run away from my family, my parents, and I won't hurt anymore. I'll just divorce and I won't hurt anymore. I'll just leave the church and I won't hurt anymore. The problem with that is that you take yourself. Can I get an amen? So I don't care where you go, you take you. And you take your sin with you. Well, I'm hurting, so I'll just run away. I'll leave. I'll divorce. I'll not come back. I'll quit the job. I'll move to another state. I'll go out of country. I'll go somewhere. I'll do something, and you'll take yourself with you. And you're still hurting. And whenever you think about it, guess what? You're going to get bitter. Cain said, I'll just kill him off. That's a blow to my position. I'm firstborn. I've got first billing here. I'm hurting. And instead of getting help from God so that he can get better, he got bitter and he killed his brother. Then Cain was not only hurt positionally, hurt personally. Keep reading with me. It says down there, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Verse 9. He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Yeah. You're the oldest. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Cain, hearing that from God, was hurt personally. Cain should have gotten better by dealing with God and getting help from God, but he got more bitter. Notice what he says, verse 13. Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You know what Cain is saying, really? You hurt me personally. Now, wait a minute. You just killed somebody. How about more of a repentant spirit? Can I get an amen? Amen. How about a, Lord, forgive me, I killed my brother. How about, Lord, in my anger and in my rage and in my hate, bitterness got the best of me and I killed him. Because he one-upped me. He stood me up. He showed me up. And I figured I could just kill him and be gone. Now I got to deal with you. And you're giving me too much. He shows a non-repentant spirit. Let me tell you something. When you get hurt and you don't deal with that hurt, it's going to turn to bitterness. And you're going to be justified in your own stand. Everybody's against me. That's what it is. God's against me. My husband's against me. My wife's against me. My children against me. Everybody. I'm the one that tried right now. If you just got right with God. Oh, help you. God help you. Hurt personally. Everybody's against me. Cain said, everybody's against me. God's against me. I just can't win here. But wait a minute. You killed your brother. You killed your brother. Cain just says, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. It's all about Cain. Hey, let me tell you something. When it starts being all about you and not about God, you got problems. When it's all about you and how everybody's against you and what you did is right and how everybody else is wrong, how you're justified, you better examine your heart. He was hurt positionally. He was hurt personally. And instead of getting better by going to God and get help, he got bitter, killed his brother. He got more bitter and said, God, you're unfair. Imagine how Adam and Eve felt. I got two sons and one kills the other. They were hurt too. Imagine how God felt. That's the first person born on the earth. Imagine how God felt. But Cain is just concerned about Cain. Scripture's first son. Instead of getting help to get better from God, he got bitter, began to hate. How about you today? Did God deal with you about something? He told you no. You ought not feel that way. You ought not do that. You ought not go there. You ought not be that way. And in your justification, I'm justified. It's them. It's their fault. That husband, that wife, those children, that school, that job, that community, those people, that sport. It's everybody but you. Everybody but you. And Cain's, it's everybody but Cain. If Adam and Eve hadn't had that other son, his fault. God hadn't had those requirements, that blood, his fault. Rules and rules and rules. Every time, rules, got to do this, got to do that. This, that, that. It's everybody else's fault. Oh, God help you. God help you. You're in trouble. You're bitter. And you're turning into a hater. And you need to deal with that. Did God do something in your life maybe or allow something to happen? Maybe it was unfavorable. And did you get better or did you get bitter? God knows what's happening. Sometimes we think God is in a void somewhere, so far removed that he can't see what's going on. Let me remind you that the Bible says the eyes of the Lord roam around the world. God sees everything. Nothing catches God by surprise. He sees it all. But what about when I was beat up? And what about when I was molested? And what about when I was raped? And what about when I was stabbed? And what about when I was punched? And what about when I was kidnapped? And what about when I was robbed? And what about when I was unjustly fired? God sees it all. Nothing caught God by surprise. Hold your finger there. Go over to 1 Peter. Matter of fact, you don't have to hold your finger there. Go over to 1 Peter. So many times we think God doesn't see and God doesn't care. May I remind you that he does? First Peter. And notice 1 Peter chapter number 3. And notice what it says in verse number 8. Finally, be all of one mind. By the way, this book, 1 Peter, was written to Christians that were being persecuted. So you know what that tells me? They were being hurt. And you know what that also tells me? That Peter is writing to them and saying, you know what? You're hurt, but don't get bitter. You better get better. Verse 8, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. Notice this, not rendering what? Evil for evil. Our first inclination is to render evil for evil. You curse me, I'll curse you. You hit me, I'll hit you. You speak bad to me, I'll speak bad to you. You don't help me, I won't help you. You don't love me, I won't love you. And on we go. We live in a tit-for-tat society, and that is contrary to God. That's of the devil. And Peter says, don't do it. Don't do it. You may be tempted. Don't do it. Don't get better. Don't get bitter. You better get better. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrary-wise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. And let him eschew evil, stay away from it, and do good. Do what? Do good. Do what? Do good. Do what? Do good. Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir. We want to turn into a hater. We want to get bitter. He said, do good. Let him speak peace, or seek peace, and ensue it. Why? Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. God says, I know who's doing what. You want to talk about who knows who's naughty or nice? God does. You know who's got a list and checking it twice? God does. It ain't Santa. It's God. Verse 13, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But preacher, they're going to walk on me. I don't want to be a doormat. Nobody said you got to be a doormat. But being a Christian means standing up for that which is right and not getting involved with that which is not right. Doesn't mean being a doormat. God doesn't want you to be a doormat. Well, I'm just supposed to let them abuse me? No, just be a Christian. Be godly. Be loving. Be forgiving. Why? Because God forgave you. If for no other reason, he forgave you. And you know in your heart you've hurt somebody. Whether intentionally or unintentionally, you have hurt somebody. And he says, you need to watch out. Well, not just scriptures for a son. There's another son. Sons of Jacob. Go over to Genesis. Notice that God shows us these accounts early on. Genesis chapter 37. In Genesis chapter 37, just for a moment, the sons of Jacob reveal their hurt as well. Genesis chapter 37. This is Joseph dealing with his brothers. Many of you know the story, so I'm not going to belabor the points. But notice in chapter 37, they were hurt positionally. Joseph was favored, though they were older than he. Verse 37, verse 1, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. Now these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now first of all, how come you going to tell on us? How come you got to be a tattletale? Why can't you keep stuff to yourself? Because the Bible says it's an evil report. And I'm supposed to report evil because evil shouldn't go with the Christian life. Can I get an amen? Hey, don't you harbor someone that's doing evil. Don't you hide out for them. If they're doing wickedness, call them out. Yes, sir, Pastor. Don't you harbor with their wickedness. And well, I'm not going to call their wickedness out because they may not like me. What do you love God?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Then if you love God, do right. Mm-hmm. If you're doing evil, then you should be called out. Yes. Well, I thought you were my friend. I'm a friend of God. And I'm not going to be over here yoking up with the world and trying to do this evil over here and call myself loving God when you're doing it. No, I'm going to separate myself from you. Brought their evil report up. Stand for God. He says down there, he brought up their report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, probably because he was ratting everybody out for their sin. Amen. I'd like him too. Because he was the son of his old age, the Bible says, and he made him a coat of many colors. Notice this. And when his brethren saw their father loved him more than all his brethren, they what? hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. What happened? They were hurt positionally. Joseph was not one of the oldest, and Joseph was favored. Joseph was in favor with dad, and he's telling all our evil instead of getting better by dealing with their hurt and getting help from God and saying, well, what ought we to do to be more like Joseph and more like our godly sons? And they got bitter instead and began to hate him early on. You just think you're a goody two-shoes. Look at you. Daddy's boy. You think you're something. Look at that coat of many colors. Boy, let me take you out back and I'll wear you out. You know some of them thoughts you have? When somebody's getting what you think you ought to have. Come on now, y'all help me. You know how it is. When somebody's getting what you think you deserve, you begin to despise them. You begin to hate them. Oh, you let some nice looking female get her husband's, get the husband's ear over here. Boy, that wife don't like that. You're getting my husband's ear? And I can't get his ear? I tell you, I will not stand for that. But number one, he ought not be doing that. But number two, she's got to watch it. Joseph is getting what they wanted, and so they began to hate him because he has the coat of many colors. His father loves him more, and he's favored. And whose fault is that? If anybody's fault, it's Jacob's fault. It's not Joseph's fault. But you know what? Since it's getting the privileges, we don't like you. They began to hate on him instead of getting better by dealing with their hurt. You know what they could have done? Hey, you know, Dad, this don't seem right. Now, I'm 12 years older than Joseph. Now, what is he doing that I'm not doing? Because I need to do something here to kind of rectify this. What's going on? He's got the coat of many colors on. Work with me, Dad. Let's talk about this. So we're getting an age, we don't want to talk anymore. We just assume. Well, I assume you like him more. And the Bible does says he loved him more because in his old age. And he bought them his coat of many colors. But do the boys know that? I don't know. But they could have talked and said, you know, we're hurt. We're hurt about that. Hey, let me tell you something. Sons and daughters, talk to your parents. Let them know when you're hurting. Let them know when something is not fair. My Joshua and my children, they'll come up in a heartbeat. I don't think that was fair. I don't think that was fair because of X, Y, and Z. And we'll say, Well, I need to check on that and make sure. Amen. Come to find out, okay, was it fair? Was it not fair? They don't have a problem with saying, look, that hurt me. Oh, don't shut your children. Let your children talk to you. Hear me now. When they're hurt. If they can't talk to you when they're hurt, who can they talk to? They'll go out there and get some counsel that's contrary to your guidance. If they can't talk to you when they're hurting, who can they talk to? Well, they can go talk to so-and-so over here or so-and-so over there may take him in the wrong direction. So-and-so may not stand for God. Or so-and-so may not love God. So-and-so may have a different doctrine than what you have. Make sure when your children are hurting, they can talk to you. You're the parent. They were hurting. But not only were they hurt positionally, they were hurt personally. Joseph had a dream that they would bow down to him. Notice chapter 37, verse number 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. He said to them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I've dreamed, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaf stood round about you and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? You already got this coat of many colors. Dad already likes you. You're already a snitch. Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they what? Hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. They were hurt personally. You mean to tell me that you, Mr. Coat of Many Colors, we, your brothers, are going to bow down to you? Well, I just had a dream. That's all I'm saying. No, what you're trying to say is that you're better than us. What you're trying to say is that we're not as good as you. What you're trying to say is that you're somebody special. What you're trying to say is that we're going to be subservient to you. All of which came to be somewhat true, if you look at it. And Joseph said, "I'm just telling you I had a dream." Instead of them going to Joseph and trying to work things out and talking to Joseph, and instead of getting better by dealing with their hurt and getting help from God, the brothers got bitter and began to hate, contemplating killing Joseph. They ended up selling him into slavery instead. Joseph, of course, you know, went down to Potiphar's house, was sold into slavery, was elevated by God, and then lied upon by Potiphar's wife, and then went further into the dungeon, went down and saw the dreams of the butler and the baker, was promoted down there, and subsequently second in command, met his brothers. He met these haters. Now, just for a moment, how would you handle the situation? Your brothers hated you from the beginning. Your sisters hated you from the beginning. They spitefully treated you. They hated you. They threw you in a pit. They were going to kill you, but then they sold you into slavery. And you thought you were done. And then you see them years later, and you're second in command. How would you respond to them? Well, I'd be just as bitter as they were. I've had 17 years to fester up to wait for them. I've got all the power in my finger of Pharaoh. I can say, off with their heads. I can say, in prison with you. I can say, who do you have in your family? I can say, I'm going to kill you all. I can do many things against them, but he didn't. You know what happened to Joseph? He got better. See, some people can get hurt and get bitter. Joseph got hurt and Joseph got better. Joseph said, you know what? God meant it for good. Go to Genesis chapter 50 as we close. He had every reason to turn his back on his brothers. He had every reason to do the unthinkable. Say, yeah, Dad wants you to be the favorite. Favor this. Genesis chapter number 50. Notice verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph would peradventure what? Hate us. Hate us. Joseph's going to be just like we were. Tit for tat. Evil for evil. And will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Now, could he? Yes. Yes, he could have. But you know what? Joseph said, you hurt me. But I went to God and I got help from God. And God helped me become better. And not bitter. Yeah, I could hate you. Yeah, you did me wrong. And he admits that they did him wrong. Come down to verse number 18. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. They are doing exactly what Joseph said they would do. And Joseph said unto them, notice this, fear not, for am I in the place of God? What am I saying? He got better because he went to God and he got help from God. Said, God, help me to deal with this hurt. God, help me deal with this pain. God, it wasn't my fault. God, I don't know what happened. I don't know why they want to kill me. I know some things about my dream, but God, I don't deserve this. And God, help me. I've been down with Potiphar. They treated me wrong. I got thrown in a dungeon. They treated me wrong. But then God, you elevated me. And God, now I've got the opportunity to reciprocate. God, help me do right. Help me do right. He said, fear not, am I in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. He said, I didn't forget. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph was hurt positionally and personally, just like they were. But Joseph chose to get help from God and get better. And with the help that he got from God in getting better, he was able to help his brothers and his father. And he overcame with the love of God. And I'm here to tell you today, I don't care what type of hurt you had. There's a God that is able. I don't care where you've been in life and how badly you've been hurt. There's a God that's able. I'm here to tell you that. I don't care how bad the pain is. Jesus understands your pain and he feels it. Because the Bible says he suffered just like us, yet without sin. There's a God in heaven that wants to help you today. Joseph gives us the example on how to do it. Next week, we'll look at Jesus. Joseph says, you meant evil. I understand that. But God meant it for good. I don't know where you're at today. But I can tell you this, during this time of the year, some people hate this time. Oh, don't let that be the Christian. Some people are bitter at this time. Christian, don't let that be you. Some people are hurting this time, and that's many of us. But you know what, the hurt? We can do like Scrooge did, like Satan did, like Cain did, or like Joseph's brothers did. Or we can do like Joseph and say, yes, I've been hurt. Yes, I've been hurt. But I don't want to get bitter. that's not of God. I want to get better. God, show me what I need to do to get better. I want to turn out like Joseph did. And those that treated me wrong, evilly, I want to be able to help them. I want to be able to forgive them. Oh, God, I know it's going to be difficult. I know it may be hard. But I understand that I can't get your forgiveness if I don't forgive them. Joseph gives us the picture of how to deal with the hurt. Jesus gives us the ultimate example. We'll see that next week. But I'm here to tell you, friend, you're going to get hurt. Your parents are going to hurt you. Your children are going to hurt you. Your husband may hurt you. Your wife may hurt you. Your grandparents may hurt you. Your aunts, your uncles, your friends. Somebody's going to hurt you eventually. It's going to happen. Because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Somebody's going to let you down. Somebody's going to do something that you don't like. Somebody's going to do something that you just detest what they did. Does that give me the right to then do evil? According to the Bible, no, it doesn't. Did Joseph have every reason under the sun to do evil towards his brothers? Yes. But he had no reason in the Bible to do it. Why? He has a God in heaven. You have a God in heaven. And whatever injustice has been done to you, you're going to hurt. But get help from God and say, God, I want to get better. I don't want this to build up as resentment, because wherever I go, I'm going to take me and I want to have the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Now, I'm not saying that what you have to deal with in your own life is easy. I'm not trying to make this into an easy thing. You may need special counsel. You may have to dig deep. You may have to go to some great lengths to uncover why you are hurt so deeply. And you may have to start pulling back layers before you actually get to the core of why you're hurt. It may be as easy as coming down to an old-fashioned altar. It may take pastoral counsel. It may take that. You say, preacher, does it come to that? Sometimes it does. I'm so glad that God dealt with me of a hurt that I had with my sister. And God gave, he dealt with my hurt just from reading a Bible study lesson. And he said, that's you. And that's you against your sister. And you're saved. And that's not right. And you need to deal with it. The next opportunity I had, I got with my sister. And I said, I've been angry with you for years. And that is not right. And God showed me that I was the one in bondage, not you. I didn't hate you, but I was real bitter. I was real bitter with you because of what you did. I had forgiven her before I even got there. She looked at me as if she didn't have a clue what I was talking about. It had never fazed her at all. But inside, I was so ate up. I was so hurt. And I was so bitter. If she needed help, I would have helped her. But I held on to that bitterness. And it could have turned into hate. I'm so glad I got a God in heaven that warned me, said, son, you're headed for disaster. Son, you're going to turn out like Cain. Son, you're going to do something that you're sorry for down the line. Son, you better deal with it. And you better deal with it now, before it gets out of hand. And to this day, I can look her in her face. I can embrace her like nothing ever happened. Oh, yeah, I remember. I'm like Joseph. Hey, you might have been evil. But God meant it for good. See, folks, sometimes we look at preachers. They never get hurt. Preachers get hurt all the time. Husbands never get hurt. Husbands are tough and macho. Husbands get hurt all the time. Wives, they'll bounce back. Wives get hurt all the time. Children are resilient, and they are, but children get hurt all the time. We all get hurt. But it's how we respond. there's a God waiting to help you. He'll meet you down at this altar. He'll meet you in your chair. But he wants to help you today so that you and I don't get bitter, but we get better. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. Just for a moment. Father, I've got firsthand information on this idea of hurts, getting bitter, being on the verge of hating. And I'm so glad you warned me. And I'm so glad, Lord Jesus, in your sovereignty, you showed me that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and you listen to our prayers. And God, I do pray for this invitation. Lord, I'm convinced that someone here today is hurt. Lord, I'm convinced someone here has the opportunity to get better by getting help from you. But I'm equally as convinced to know someone is on the verge of getting bitter. And they're going to start hating if they don't take care of it. God, I pray that somewhere along their message today that they were warned. And, oh Lord, they would get things right with you, whether it's a man, woman, boy, or girl. They would get that thing right. Lord, also, I do pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl that's never received Christ, that they've been hurt along the line of life and they have never had Jesus Christ to come into their heart to forgive them of their sin. They know they're a sinner. But they never come to a conscious place to recognize that it's not a particular sin. It's just the idea of being a sinner that they need to be forgiven for. And without that forgiveness, without being born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. And Lord, today, maybe that man, that woman, that boy or girl needs to come forward and receive Christ as Savior. Because, Lord, we cannot forgive unless you show us how to forgive. And that's the forgiveness of our sin. By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of sin and turning to God. Lord, help us today to do business with thee in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed when looking around. How many would be honest today and say, preacher, I've never been born again today. If I were to die, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm desirous to go to heaven. I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven, but I really want to go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed when looking around. You'd raise your hand, say, preacher, please pray for me in your invitation. Man, woman, boy, or girl, you stick your hand up right where you're at. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Preacher, pray for me. Anyone at all. You haven't repented of your sins and turned to Christ. Man, woman, boy, or girl. Amen. I see one hand. You may put it down. Is there another? Join this one. Preacher, I've never been born again. Well, second of all, preacher, I've been hurt. Would you pray for me that I can deal with it so that that hurt doesn't turn into bitterness and that bitterness doesn't turn into hate? Preacher, pray for me that I can deal with my hurt in the right way. Would you raise that hand? I want to pray for you. I see one. I see two. Is there another? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Amen. Amen. You may put those down. Is there another? Join these. Folks, we've got to identify hurt is real. It happens to real people like you and me. But it doesn't have to stay that way. God is waiting to help us to get past it so we can get better. How many would be honest and say, preacher, I hate. I'm just going to flat out admit it. I hate somebody. And if I had my chance, I wouldn't matter if they dropped dead right now. It wouldn't mind me if they fell off the face of this planet. I know that's not the right feeling that I should have, but I do hate. And I want God to help me with that. And maybe you raise your hand. Preacher, I'm beyond bitterness. I've got hate. Amen. I see that hand. You may put it down. I see that one. You may put it down. I see that one. Friends, let me help you. There's a God that's able. His name is Jesus Christ. And he loves you. He died for you. And he wants to bear your sin. He wants to help with that hate and that hurt. For God so loved the world that he gave. The Bible says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Maybe today I can help you. If I can help you, would you let me know? Maybe Pastor White can help you. Maybe if you're a lady, Mrs. Dawson can help you. But let us help you today. Come down to an old-fashioned altar, turn it to the Lord. Father, give salvation to the one that raised their hand saying that they're not sure that if they die, they'd go to heaven. They're concerned about it. Give them saving faith today and the ability to call on Jesus Christ to be born again. And then, Lord, I do thank you so much for these that were honest saying, I just hate. There's some things that happen in my life that I detest and I dislike. And it's building up in my life and I hate. Lord, help these dear Christians to deal with that. Lord, it's real. It happens to us. But, oh God, it's how we respond. We don't have to stay there. Help them today. to get the help that they need from Jesus Christ. And then those that are hurting, God, help them before it turns to bitterness. Help them to get the help from you today. And help them like only you can, in Jesus' name. Amen.